T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Joniak.
And it keeps getting better for the Bears defense.
The voice of your Chicago Bears.
And in the backfield, Akeem Hicks. He takes the handoff, and he is in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Fridge revisited. Akeem Hicks punctures the goal line.
Twitter.com/Jeff Joniak.
Shotgun snap. Handoff to Burton. To Cohen. To throw to the end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. Anthony Miller from Tariq Cohen. And Matt Nagy pulls another trick out of his bag.
Jeff Joniak with Mully and Haw.
You have got to be kidding me. Fade to black.
Jeff Joniak, you are ridiculous.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Jeff Joniak joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. Been a minute. We haven't had the occasion to sit down and chat.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. I think it's been 3 weeks since we saw you.
Yeah.
How was London?
We miss you, Jeff.
How was your flight?
Yeah, I missed the talk. Yeah, you know, it was better than I expected, you know, because Tom is usually my seatmate, but we had our own little area, so it was all good. He handled the trip well. That was my only concern about the entire operation.
So, Jeff, when you get the work on Sunday and you set the context in the pregame, every week is a season unto itself in the NFL. How are you framing this one? How big is this game to the Bears season?
Well, when the schedule came out, I felt this was going to be one of the big showdown games in the league for the entire 16 weeks, and I see no reason why it shouldn't be again. These are two teams that harbor contending status desires, and they, despite their starts respectively, and one losing their quarterback, Drew Brees, Hall of Famer, and the other one still trying to find their way offensively, they still hold those aspirations. So at home, no less, against this Sean Payton-led offense that carves up teams left and right against one of the premier defenses in the league. So that's how I'm framing it, and I see no reason why you shouldn't.
Okay, so we know that there have been a couple of serious injuries since last we talked, and we suspect that. I don't know who do we think is starting? Is Ted Larson back? Is it going to be Coward? Is Alex Barrs moved up now? I mean, who do you expect to see at right guard for this game?
Well, just reading the tea leaves of the week and the injury report, that's all you got to go by. And Ted Larson admits himself that he's still limited with a sore knee. So I'm thinking Rashad Coward. Mm-hmm. And the young man would get his first NFL start. Did well against the Vikings in his throw-in there as a third option at guard when Kyle went down and then Larson went down. And the one thing about, and I don't know if that'll happen, but that's just my guess.
Sure.
But the one thing about Rashad Coward, and this was something that I may have discussed with you guys a couple of years ago, as a practice squad player when he first came in as a rookie and he's making the move and then they decided to make the move to the offensive line, he was already kind of had that mentality of being one of those, you know, nasty mindset offensive linemen that you hope to get on your football team. And he is going to be an interesting guy to watch if he is that guy and see if he can develop into this. You know, it's no guarantee, obviously, that he can do it. He's making that hard transition. But he's got the offensive mindset, that lineman mindset, and I'm encouraged about that. You need somebody to take on that role on that offensive line.
If Saints defensive coordinator Dennis Allen were being totally honest and he was asked, which would you rather see on Sunday, Mitch Trubisky at less than 100% or a healthy Chase Daniel, what do you think his answer would be?
Oh, that's a great question. But because of the ability for Mitch to extend plays and make throws on the move and regardless of what – his injury situation is, I think defensive coordinators in general would always be concerned about what he does with his feet. So I would say Mitch Trubisky. And I know it's a slow start and that Chase Daniel has a good command of the offense and whatnot, but you know, Mitch Trubisky is still a dangerous weapon as a quarterback because of his legs and because he feels good about himself right now in terms of where he left things. He had a decent performance against Washington, and he felt he was going to have a big game against the Vikings. So mindset is as important as anything, and I think his mind is set right now.
Let's talk shoulder harness, and I'm not talking about Mitch. Anthony Miller got rid of his shoulder harness and came back in and made a big catch, and apparently now is going to play without it. And does that make a big impact for him? Does that change what we expect to see from him?
You know, players have to have a clear mind, and they have to believe, whether it's an offensive lineman who may not be able to lift weights like he used to, he feels he's not as strong, that's that little bit of mental edge that he thinks he has is important. And for Anthony Miller, he's an interesting cat. There's no doubt about it. He kind of beats to his own drum at times. He's a believer in himself, and he feels that that restrained his ability to reach and that arc of catching the football is very important for him. That's a part of his game, is helping to clean up a quarterback if it's not exactly accurate. So if that makes him feel better about becoming an impact player, because we're waiting on it, and I want to see it. You know, this whole offense was designed to spread it around and have different threats to cause damage. And, you know, a guy like Anthony Miller and Trey Burton and Taylor Gabriel added to the mix this week can help take some of that pressure off the quarterback and the entire offense if they make themselves available and Mitch finds them.
Jeff, when you look at the loss of Akeem Hicks, I think that I've said this, that the strength of the Bears defense lies in its depth up front. And that said, I look at Hicks's ability to play 50 to 60 plays a game, and I think sometimes I tend to overlook the fact that maybe Roy Robertson-Harris and Nick Williams and Bilal Nichols have been good, and maybe we think more of them because of their ability to play, you know, or stand out in lesser time, 20 to 25 plays a game. How will they be when they need to play more than that, and will they be possibly exposed?
You know, that's always a great question, you know, but I don't think they're going to be put in that position to play that many snaps. I think the rotation will be there. Getting Bilal Nichols back, whether he can handle playing with a cast on his hand or not is another question, but you know, those guys have been productive in their spurt snaps. And Roy Robertson-Harris played a lot more snaps last week against the Raiders, or 2 weeks ago against the Raiders. I like what they've done, and I have a lot of faith right now in Roy Robertson-Harris and Nick Williams to be collectively a problem for offensive lines. And this is a very good offensive line they're going to be going up against, especially at the tackle position with two guys, Armstead and Ramczyk. I like the rotation. I like what Jay Rogers does with these guys. I like their aggressiveness. And they have collectively put together a bunch of pressures and hits on the quarterback. They may not be just yet the finishers that Akeem is when he gets to the pocket and collapses the pocket and gets to the quarterback, but I do believe them. But more than anything, they got to maintain their ability to stop the run, because that's what the Saints are still going to try and do. Alvin Kamara, healthy or not, they're going to try and do that, and they also do it by extending those passing plays, you know, screens and flat passes. That's extension of their running game. Those are as equally important to track down from the defensive line and linebacker level.
Jeff, thanks a ton. We will be listening and watching and hoping. And
yeah, it should be good. Should
thanks,
be fun.
Jeff. We'll see you Sunday.
All right, guys.
That is Jeff Joniak. He, of course, the Bears radio play-by-play man. And we will be back. We're gonna talk a little Saints next.
Yeah, with Zach Strief, the former offensive lineman for the Saints and Northwestern product.
How about that? So you know he's smart, right?
Well,
it's one of your colleges, right?
That's right.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Well, it's the players they have, you know. It's and the scheme is a great scheme. So they're able to fly around. They move around quick. They play in their gaps. They don't, you know, they're playing at a high speed right now, and they have good players. So that's a huge part of it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's get out to Zach Strief. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. I guess, Zach, you got some Cajun music, so welcome to the show. How are you?
Morning, Zach.
Morning, fellas. Thanks for having me.
So help us out. You know, we look at the Saints and how well they've done with Teddy Bridgewater. How difficult is it to replace the former Bears draft pick, Alvin Kamara? I mean, he was picked with a draft pick that once belonged to the Bears. Let's put it that way. He's not necessarily a former Bear, but it was their pick at one point.
Well, I mean, if Alvin's unable to play this week, that'll be a massive hit to this offense. Obviously, I think, you know, the things that Alvin gives you, you know, he's really a balanced player. He runs the ball very well inside, can run the ball outside also. I think probably better known as a kind of a scat back guy, although that's not really who he is, but does a great job catching the ball out of the backfield. I think the single biggest loss from the Saints' perspective is that you lose that ability to manipulate defenses with him. You know, one of the things that I think has made Alvin so good in the National Football League is Sean Payton's ability to use personnel groupings and formations to get matchups that are advantageous to the Saints. And having a guy like Alvin that can just as easily line up wide as a wide receiver as he can line up behind the quarterback and run a power play is really, really helpful for this team schematically. So if Alvin's unable to go, that's a huge loss for them. There's no question.
Zach, from your perspective as a former offensive tackle, played with the Saints for a long time, 2006 to 2017, how would you evaluate, you know, which offensive line is better equipped to handle the game wrecker, the edge rusher, opposite them this weekend? Because Cam Jordan and Khalil Mack do the same things for their respective defenses.
Well, I'll be completely honest. I'll do my best not to be a homer here, but I think the Saints have the best tackle combo in football right now. I think Jaron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk are the absolute top of the food chain when it comes to tackle play in the NFL. You know, Ryan Ramczyk has already seen kind of a murderer's row. Now, there's very few things that make me like excited not to be playing anymore, but the schedule that we've had to date for Ryan Ramczyk makes me feel excited that I'm not doing that anymore. You know, started out the season against J.J. Watt, you know, head up to see Jadeveon Clowney in Seattle. You come back DeMarcus Lawrence in against Dallas. You know, Shaq Barrett, the NFL's leading sacker in Tampa Bay. So it's been a stretch of really, you know, good players, and I think Khalil Mack probably sits at the top of that. But Ryan Ramczyk is an absolute stud. Teron Armstead is an absolute stud. When you look at a team that throws the ball as much as the Saints do, Teron Armstead's given up 7 pressures on the entire season so far. So I think that they're extremely talented on the edges, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the offensive line, you know, but I think Bobby Massey's a good player, Charles Leno's a good player, but with the way that those tackles have played this year, I think the Saints have an advantage at that position in every game that they play.
You know, it's fascinating to me, and again, I think these are bizarre numbers, but apparently the Saints are the third worst team in the league dealing with the slot receiver, and I would imagine that has something to do with the fact that that Marshon Lattimore is shutting down one half of the field, and that with the pass rush, people have to get rid of the ball and they're throwing to the slot. It doesn't necessarily mean that teams are having great success against them, but it probably means they're getting rid of the ball quickly.
Well, and you mentioned Marshawn. I think Marshawn is the marquee guy on the edge for us, but Eli Apple has played at an incredibly high level this year, and I think a guy that has completely turned the corner and is playing up to where he was drafted at 7th overall. Eli Apple's only given up 10 catches on the season. So he's been phenomenal. Now, you look over the last few weeks, you know, Marshawn started the season out. He really struggled. I mean, he gave up 10 catches against Seattle. We come back against Dallas, and you've seen him shut down, you know, 3 straight receivers, 3 straight good receivers, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, and DJ Shark Jr., who was leading the NFL in big plays. So he's really come on these last 3 weeks, has really shut down number one receivers, and he travels with number one receivers, but I think Eli Apple too. So to your point, I think it's been very difficult, particularly over the last 3 weeks, to get the ball on the outside. You know, and so a lot of that's kind of fallen on PJ Williams, who's not going to play in this football game.
Suspended. Just
announced this week that he was suspended for 2 weeks for something that happened in the offseason. So on a positive note, and this is something we talked about in the offseason with this team coming in, it's an incredibly deep football team. And so behind him, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, rookie out of Florida who's played at a really high level, was a defensive player of the game a couple weeks ago for the Saints. He's been seeing an increase in his playing time, but also Patrick Robinson. You know, and P-Rob, who started with the Saints, won a Super Bowl out in Philadelphia, and in that season, their Super Bowl season, was the number one ranked slot corner in football. So, you know, he was starting for us last year, ended up breaking his ankle, and then P.J. Williams really came on. So we've got good players sitting behind him, but I think you're probably right on the assessment. I think it's been really hard to get the ball on the outside against this defense.
Zach, as you have prepared for this game and through five games, you look at the Bears on tape, what has surprised you the most about this team?
Well, you know, I think the big disappointment right now, listen, I think the defense is still phenomenal. They had a down game out in London, you know, against Is it still Oakland for another year, right? you know, I think they were disappointed in the way that they played and really came out in that football game, and yet I kind of give them a little bit of a pass. That's a tough situation. You go over to London, certain teams handle that situation really well, certain teams don't. I don't know how exactly their schedule worked out for it, but it didn't look like they were necessarily, you know, ready to go in that football game. But in general, it's a very good defense. But offensively, I think it's a team that you're kind of expecting this season to kind of make, you know, that next step, and for Mitchell Trubisky to take that next step and for them to start producing at a high level, especially with your head coach, you know, and Matt Nagy, who has done that everywhere he's been. And yet I think that the surprise for me for the Bears has just been that offense is an inability to really get going so far this year. You know, I think that's surprised really a lot of people around the league, because I think there was a really high expectation of that group coming in this year to make that next step. So, it's going to be twofold. I think that defense is going to be really ready to go this week. You know, a lot of times it's not who you play, it's when you play them, and I think it's a bad time to play the Chicago Bears coming off that loss and then a bye week rested up and ready to go. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Mitchell Trubisky does play, can he kind of get back more to where he was maybe last year than where he has been, you know, to this point this season? Because, you know, the games he played in really did not play up to the standard I'm sure they're expecting in Chicago.
You know, it's interesting because we've been talking about the value of Teddy Bridgewater and where he will end up and what will happen in his career. And, you know, I think we agree that the best thing for him would be to stay where he's at. But as you know, there's a shortage of quarterbacks. There are always teams that are interested. Drew Brees is going to be returning. What is the future? What does the future hold? Will he be a guy that now that he's captured everyone's attention and proven that he's back, will he be a guy that will be a starter in this league, or will he stay where he's at and try to maybe be the heir apparent?
Well, you know, I think for one, I think that Teddy will be a starter in the National Football League again. I think that what he's done to this point, it has amazed me, to be completely honest. I acknowledge and get, listen, Teddy Bridgewater had started in this league before, but Teddy Bridgewater hadn't played in a real game in over 3 years when he started in Seattle. You know, we played him in week 17 last year. We rested as many guys as we could. And quite honestly, I don't think there was a game plan in there to benefit him a whole lot as the Saints kind of looked to him heading to free agency. But I think what he's done to this point has been phenomenal. He's completing, you know, over 70% of his passes. He's not been explosive. He missed some throws last week in Jacksonville. But you can see him kind of coming back. And the big thing with Teddy has made plays when the Saints needed him most. You look at the fourth quarters over the last 3 weeks, he's been playing at a very high level in the fourth quarter, finding ways, even when they're not moving the ball during the game, to get down and get those scores to win football games. So I think Teddy will be a starter in the National Football League, but I also acknowledge, I think Teddy was very smart this offseason in understanding I'm not quite ready yet. And staying in a good situation with a good coach that could continue to develop him, it'll be really interesting. I think, you know, if you look at the next 2 weeks, you're hoping Teddy's going to start two more games and then Drew will be back. How he plays in these next 2 weeks, I think, will play a huge role in that. If he turns over a couple more 300-yard games in the next 2 weeks, the Saints won't be able to afford him. They won't be able to keep him and hang on to him, and I think he'll end up somewhere else. If he throws for 150 the next two games, I think that they can still compete in that bidding war for him.
Well, we'll be cheering against him just so the Saints can keep him.
Thanks,
fair
Zach.
Enough. Fair enough.
Enjoy watching your alma mater tonight.
Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks.
This Zach Streif, he is the Saints radio analyst.
Former Northwestern player.
Very interesting.
That's true. It's, you know, if Bridgewater comes out and plays well against this Bears defense, that is certainly going to up his value.
Cha-ching.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This week, Mully and Haw got you ready for the Bears' Week 7 matchup against the Saints with expert analysis from former Bears coach Dave Wannstedt.
Teddy Bridgewater's got a lot of experience. Sure. We know that from Minnesota and talent. And he will run. I mean, you know, he's probably, you know, coming off that knee. He can run and move around like Mitch can. But when I look at their passing games and you look at Michael Thomas and their receivers, I think they've been a little bit conservative to a degree. You know, they're not throwing the ball down the field like they did with Drew Brees. So I think they're doing a good job. They're doing what he does best.
WBBM Bears radio analyst Tom Thayer.
When he gets outside the pocket and he can use some of his outside the pocket creativity, get some passes downfield, throws a lot of them behind the line of scrimmage, that's when you see Teddy Bridgewater. But if the Bears can keep him inside the pocket, make him make decision throws versus coverage, then I think he may expose a little bit more of the deficiencies that held him back to this point in his career besides a horrific injury.
Radio.com sports NFL analyst Brian Baldinger.
They play the Saints, Brian. How good is that defense?
They do everything well. I mean, they're the most exciting team to watch in football right now. There's nothing they don't do well. I mean, right now, that defensive line is an elite line. Marshawn Lattimore right now, 3 weeks in a row, he's shut down Mike Evans, Amari Cooper. And last week, I mean, he was all over the field. DJ Shark, D.D. Westbrook, didn't matter. I mean, he shut them all down. And then he took the ball away. They're a ferocious defense. They'll go toe-to-toe with the Bears. I mean, I don't know if this game gets out of single digits.
Radio.com sports NFL insider Michael Lombardi.
This will be a challenge. I think the Bears defense will play much better. I don't doubt that whatsoever. I think they'll put pressure on Teddy. I think they'll definitely be disruptive in this game because they were embarrassed in London. The key is going to be, will MVP Mitch make some plays in the passing game? And let me say this to you. The Saints will make no bones about it. They'll force him to have to beat him in the game.
NFL on Fox play-by-play man Tom Brenneman.
Their defense, I just can't believe it. And maybe you saw it coming. I mean, their last four drafts, I think it's something like 17 out of the 28 players that they've chosen have been on the defensive side of the ball. So they've had a lot of weapons on offense. They've done really well drafting there or bringing in players from other teams. And when you have Drew Brees running the show, you know, you've got a good chance to win no matter who your skilled players are. But these last 3 weeks on defense, they have been the Chicago Bears.
And Bears safety Eddie Jackson.
When you got back to work yesterday at Hallis Hall, what was the message for this defense?
Let's just get back to it. You know, we want to get that bad taste out of our mouths. You know, unfortunately, we had to wait for a bye week. But, you know, right now, we're just back on track. You know, we're just putting them behind us and coming out. Now we got to make a statement game here at home.
Can coach Matt Nagy's crew bounce back against the New Orleans Saints? Mully, Haw, and your reaction to Bears Saints. Monday morning, starting at 5 a.m.
Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We know on this program anyway, we have been instructed by our executive producer Dustin Rose that there are only two options. Mm-hmm. And it's not win or lose, it's must win or statement game. I really think the Bears need to win this game if they're going to get to the playoffs and do all that they want to get done. They can't fall too far behind. I worry that the Green Bay Packers, while a game and a half ahead of them, are actually two games ahead of them because they beat the Bears at home. And I worry about losing home games. And I think this is a very important game. We heard statement game there from Eddie Jackson. And I'm going must win.
I can see this being a game. Let's go
and
this
those
way.
Those are the only two options.
Let's go this way. If they win, they can make a huge statement. And the statement is that they are bona fide NFC title contender again.
They must make that statement.
Yes, therefore, they must make that statement. Win. Because if they don't, if they lose, they're 3-3, and you're looking at a possibility, a realistic possibility of missing the playoffs because you haven't proven anything through six games. And that's the problem here for me. I look at this game pretty even. I think that without Drew Brees, obviously Teddy Bridgewater brings him back to earth. But he's been very good, and I know it's time for him to kind of reach that expiration date as a backup. but their defense is they've won twice by scoring 13 or fewer points. And that, to me, with this Bears offense, hasn't given me any reason to believe in them. What do they do well? Who are they? What kind of offense do you fear if you're the Saints?
They call plays. That's what they do. They're not a scheme-based offense. They are a play-based offense. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that everybody contributes a play, everybody has a cut and sends it in, and then they look at it, and then Matt Nagy comes up with a bunch of plays. That's how they do it in Kansas City with Andy Reid, and that's how we learned to do it, and that's what he's trying to do. So the question isn't the question becomes whether Mitch can operate all these plays so that Nagy is comfortable just being the play caller that he is.
Well, you need him to be more comfortable being the play caller.
But you can't look at it like, you know, their scheme is based on they are play call. He's calling plays, mm-hmm. and he's hiding them with formations, but they're basically calling similar plays. I don't know that we are expecting them to turn into a power running team over the bye. I think we're just expecting that Mitch is going to be able to get more, to accomplish more than he was earlier. And now against this defense, that could be awful hard.
But I asked Tom Thayer this question, and it still is valid. I mean, is it a lack of preparation or lack of execution? Because to run the ball effectively, you have to commit to it. So you have to prepare for that in your game plan too. So this week, the Bears have had, you know, even though they gave the assistants 4 days off, they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. And I think you're going to see you have everything that would lead you to believe they're going to try to run the football more effectively. Yeah, you're missing Kyle Long, but you have a quarterback that's limited. You've got an offense in the Saints you want to keep off the field, and you're playing at home. You've got to do this better than you have done it, because you know your offense has been underachieving to this point.
This segment of the Mully and Haw Show is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. Lose weight eating the food you love. Now save $50 plus. Get a week of protein pack shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details.
What else slows down a pass rush? Running game and the screen game. So get your running backs involved, because Cam Jordan can wreck your game plan in a hurry as quickly as Khalil Mack can wreck the Saints.
Look, I think it's fascinating that we have two categories, just two categories, mm-hmm. statement game or must win, and you have created a new one.
What's a new one?
Must statement.
You must make a statement. You must make a statement.
You've created a new category.
I'll take that.
Dustin, is that allowed? A must statement?
Must statement game.
He is. He's giving the thumbs up.
If you're the Bears, you must make a statement that you are a bona fide NFC contender, and if you're Matt Nagy, you've got to make a statement that you belong in the same category as play caller as the guy on the opposite sideline.
Sean Payton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's the company you're keeping. You know, in the offseason, we talked about the coach of the year and what's possible for the Bears, and there was a lot of hope invested in this innovation and all this great stuff that you're going to see offensively. Some of that has been limited by Trubisky, certainly.
Okay.
But you have lost a little bit of faith, admit it, in the game planning of the Bears and Nagy, because you have not seen what you expected to see from this offense.
I'm not arguing that point, David. Honestly, I think a lot of what you say makes perfect sense. But I also believe that there are other kind of extenuating circumstances that come up in the NFL. And it's you know, horses for courses. And it's spots. And this is a really good spot for the Bears. They've had 2 weeks off. Mm-hmm. They are embittered by a very horrible loss in London, where they got beaten up a little bit. Last time we saw them at home, they were doing the beating up. So they come back. They've had the time off. They're fresh. They know, you know, they got a couple of injuries. I understand that. But they know exactly who they have available and what they have going for them. And they've had tons of time to prepare for this. So they should come out. We should see the best the Bears can be in this game. And
you're
part
exactly
of it is
right.
Motivational.
Yep.
And then meanwhile, your opponent is gone to Jacksonville and played outdoors on grass and didn't get anything done. And now they come to Chicago and they play a better team outdoors on grass. And what are they going to get done? So I think that it's horses for courses and it's spots.
I don't disagree with that premise, because I think that the NFL season has these gaps and every schedule has an opportunity. And this is one for the Bears. But which team came to training camp with a mission, on a mission. And I know the Bears, every team does, absolutely. Sure. Every team wants to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But which team had the bigger edge or chip on its shoulder when it arrived at training camp this year? The Saints did.
Well, they were robbed of a trip to the Super Bowl by a terrible call. And
so everything you just said is valid. But if I have to pick a team which I think is mentally tougher at this stage of the season, I'm not picking the one that went to London and laid an egg. I'm picking the one that I think has overcome the loss of its Hall of Fame quarterback and looks at this as a chance to prove that they can win on the road in a tough environment.
Yeah. I think that both teams have something to prove, but I think the Bears have much more to prove.
It's going to be a great game.
And I think it's it's going to be a great game if you like your defensive taffy pull. If you like, I don't think that a track meet can possibly break out at Soldier Field. I think it's going to be a hard-hitting, tough, hard-nosed football game. If you like that style of play, this is not the Chiefs against the Rams from last year.
No.
Let's put it that way.
That's not the NFL this year.
Was just some weird game that I never really enjoyed.
Video game.
Yeah, it was a video game.
And Texter points out, am I saying that Cam Jordan is as good or better than Khalil Mack?
That's what you're saying.
No, it's not
what
I'm saying.
You're saying he's better?
I'm saying that his effect on the Saints defense and by virtue the Bears offense is the same or similar to Mack's effect on the Bears defense and any offense he faces.
Listen, Sean Payton's a really good coach.
Yeah.
And he's seen a couple of teams, including a really good John Gruden game plan, work against Khalil Mack, but he's seen teams come up with a formula to try to beat the Bears. And I don't think I think what he'll do is exactly what I expect Matt Nagy to do, which is to keep your quarterback out of risk. And as a result, I don't expect a ton of turnovers in the game. I don't expect there to be I think we're going to see a lot of similar things from both teams. And I think Kamara not being there makes me
that could be a huge factor. And it bears repeating what Zach Strief pointed out. This group of tackles, this tandem, is as good as any of the Bears will face this year. And back-to-back, the Raiders and the Saints are as good of back-to-back challenges as Mac's going to see.
All right. We will be watching it very closely. We'll be watching the game tonight. We'll be watching the baseball. We'll come in here on Monday morning. Maybe you got a new manager. Maybe you have a new favorite for the Super Bowl, a new NFC powerhouse. Is that possible?
Come on.
Yeah. And maybe it's New Orleans. All right. We're going to bring in Dan and Connor, and we'll talk to them next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.